Tuesday, 16th of April, 2024. Maybe today. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, "This man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains." Acts 26:31. A more literal translation would be, "And having withdrawn, they spoke to one another, saying, 'Nothing worthy of death or bonds is the man doing.'" CG. With the substance of the trial complete, the previous verse noted that the king stood up. This was followed by the governor, Bernice, and the others. Now Luke records, "And having withdrawn, they spoke to one another, saying." The words here had to come from somewhere. It could be that Luke was allowed to listen as Paul's recorder, or it could be that their deliberations were later secured by Luke from an official recorder or someone else. Either way, there was a private counsel apart from Paul's ears. In their conversation, they make the ironic judgment that nothing worthy of death or bonds is the man doing. Paul concluded his deliberation noting his desmos, bonds. That is now the same word they use in noting that he should be exonerated of any wrongdoing. In other words, Paul's bonds, which he held up as the thing that marked a marked difference in them, showed that there was really no difference at all in them except the gospel he proclaimed. This account once again shows that Christianity within the Roman Empire was to be considered religio licita. Thus, it was acceptable for practice by any under its rule. For Paul, however, the story was not yet over. More would be required of him when he would stand before Caesar. Life application. Luke meticulously continues to record the fact that Christianity is a valid extension of the redemptive narrative of the Jews recorded in their writings. This is significant because the Old Testament writings have proven true concerning the state of the people of Israel for 3,500 years, both as a reliable historical narrative and as a prophetic indicator of their relationship with the Lord, both in the land and in exile. Because Christianity was deemed an acceptable extension of Judaism, the claims of the apostles could not simply be dismissed as an aberration by the Jews. Each time they attempted to disassociate Jesus and what he signified to them as a people from their own religion, impartial witnesses from within and without their culture argued that the message concerning him was wholly in accord with their writings and was not a separate, unconnected concept. This was true of Peter and his message to the Jews, and it is true of Paul in his message that extended beyond the Jews to the Gentile world. The importance of this is that even if the Jews disagree with the message of Jesus, they cannot say that it was ever regarded as invalid by the authorities God placed over them. As such, it stands as a witness against them that the message accepted by the nations is a message that they themselves have rejected. If it is the truth, they have no right to claim they were unaware of the matter. Jesus spoke of this to the nation clearly and unambiguously, as is recorded in John 5. At the end of that chapter, he restates the matter. "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" John 5, 46 and 47. This then is what Paul is referring to when writing to those in Rome while citing scripture as a witness to the fact that they are without excuse. "But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says, 'I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation.' But Isaiah is very bold and says, 'I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me.' But to Israel he says, 'All day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people.'" Romans 10, 19, 21. These things are instructive for us. If God has been faithful to this faithless nation, preserving them even in their rejection of Jesus, it tells us the surety that he will always be faithful to his covenant promises. Israel's faithlessness does not negate God's faithfulness. What does this tell you about your own times of failure before the Lord who has saved you. Rest in your salvation. When you fail the Lord, pick yourself up, talk to him about it, and get yourself back on the right track. He has saved you, you are forgiven, and he will bring you to himself some wonderful day. Lord God, your faithfulness is without limits. How can we not rejoice when we consider what you have done for us? We were lost and without hope, and then came Jesus. We continue to fail you, and yet there is Jesus. Thank you, O God, for our Saviour, our Mediator, and our Advocate. Thank you, O God, for Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
They were talking to each other. They said, "There is no reason why this man should die or be put in jail." Acts 26, verse 31.